So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan. Hope you're well today. So we're just testing a new bit of software to go live streaming. We normally use OBS, but we're going to use Restream and that functionality. Just see what that's like. Anyway, in today's session, we've got a number of questions that have been asked through the week. And I just figured that rather than just replying to that one person, and sometimes it's quite often a lengthy email, sometimes it's actually easier just to go live and then everybody gets to benefit from getting the answer to that same question. So let me just find some other questions here. Here we go. So the first one then, how can I get more people to follow my different business pages? So it's that age-old question, isn't it? You know, when you're producing content, it doesn't matter how much content you actually end up producing, because if you're producing lots and lots and lots of content, but you've only got four people following you on your business page, you might as well not bother. You actually might as well just message them, jump on a phone call with those four people, and have a direct one-on-one conversation. You know, getting your reach to as many people as you can, it's one of the most important aspects of building your social media presence. If you've only got 200 friends on Facebook, you need to find some friends, buddy. And it's the same on business pages as well. You've got to find a way of getting your people to recognize that you're an expert in your field. And so there's a couple of ways in which you could do that that I'm going to cover now. So the first thing that you can do is that when you log into Facebook, you can actually log in as yourself, as your profile, or you can do it as your business profile. And, you know, the kind of a key here is if you want people to follow your business profile is you've got to drive people to that business profile. But more than that, you've got to start getting value in there, in the groups, on your page. If you're going to go live, like, you know, we go live across my business groups, my business profile, my personal profile. We go live on LinkedIn, on YouTube, and on Twitter as well, all at the same time. It's one of the reasons we use Restream. But another way of doing that is you could go live on all of those, you could go live on your business page only, but on all of the others, you could put out a message saying, hey, guys, I'm about to go live on my business page only. Come and join me on my business page. I'm not actually a great lover of doing that. I want to get people into a group. And, you know, when we work with clients, again, we're telling clients, get people into a group. The groups are where your buyers are. They're the people who actually want to spend time engaging with you, talking with you. And so what basically happens is that you've got to be driving traffic back to your business page on Facebook. But you see, if you're driving traffic back to your business page, it means you're not driving traffic back to your website and you're not driving traffic back to your landing page. And so you've got to make this decision. You can't be all things to all people all of the time. And so you've got to have a very specific strategy on what are you going to do to build your funnel. And that very specific strategy for us generally is we go live everywhere. I should really have some very fancy graphics on here, but I haven't. We go live everywhere, and then we drive people back into the Facebook group or back to a landing page, which is where the transactions take place. You see, getting people to follow your different business pages doesn't really make much difference. It's like it just doesn't make much difference if you're not converting people. You know, social media is great for engagement, it's great for raising awareness, but unless you're converting people, there was an influencer a year or two ago, and she's got like over a million followers, and she had some t-shirts she wanted to sell, and she sold zero t-shirts, none, nada. A million followers, she didn't sell a sausage. Well, she wasn't selling sausages, she was selling t-shirts, but she didn't sell a t-shirt. And so some people get this idea of, oh, the bigger the audience, for more money. And yeah, kind of that's right, but you still actually have to be able to convert those people. And so you've got to have a very specific strategy that's going to work for your business and for your personality. So where do you want people to go? Do you want people to see you on LinkedIn and Twitter and YouTube and Facebook pages and Facebook profile? What do you want them to do next? Where do you want them to go? Like, do you just want them to go onto your business page and click follow? Is that really the thing you want them to do? Or do you want them to go to your landing page and generate some you know, download a free guide on how to do whatever it is that you happen to do. And so that's really the conversation. Getting followers for the sake of getting followers is not really going to help you. Okay, next question that I got there. And if you've got a question, by the way, please just stick it in the chat and I can answer that live. That's always a nice thing to do. Let me just see. I think that's fine. So next question then, how do you get quick wins on SEO? SEO, in case you don't know, stands for search engine optimization. And so there's a couple of things that you can do in order to get some quick wins. So the first thing that you can do is you should be posting articles. So an article is, you know, ideally the ideal keyword article length is about 2,000 words, 1,500 to 2,000 words. That's a bloody long article to write. And so you've got to spend some time thinking about what are your keywords. Like people go, oh, I want to SEO my site. And I'm like, well, what are your keywords? And they go, I don't know. Plumbers? I don't know. And it's like, well, if you don't know what your keywords are, what are people going to type on Google to find your business? I don't know. Well, if you don't know, how can you even do that work? It's like, I want a new car. What car do you want? I don't know. It's like, it's a ridiculous thing to say. So you've got to find out what are the keywords going to be that you actually want. And so to get a quick win, you write articles about whatever the thing is that you can help with. That's number one, right? Number two is once you've written the article, you've actually got to spend a little bit of time. I know you've already spent some time, but you've got to spend a bit more time distributing that article. And I'll tell you why. One of the things that Google looks at, let's have a look. We have got a question from Jatin. Jatin, I'll get to you in a second. Let's go back and finish this one. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. One of the things that Google is looking at right now is what we call social, I can't remember the word, social media click-throughs. There's a social, there's a specific name. Anyway, Google are looking at when you post on Facebook and someone clicks and it goes back to your website to that article, how many people are doing that and then how many people are spending time on that particular page. That's a really good way of getting a quick win on SEO. So you've got to write the article, then you've got to distribute the article. And Google is looking, by the way, Google is looking at what's being published where and how many click-throughs is that generating. So definitely do that. Let's have a look. So Jatin Bali, hey, hope you're well on LinkedIn. So how to generate leads for niche like patent management or patent consultancy. So if it's something very, very niche, you know, there's a book and I can't remember the name of the book, but it talks about fishing where the fish are. And so one of the downsides of social media is that we have this catch-all thing. I'm just going to go live on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and I'm going to do all that, which is great, but where are your customers? Where do they live? Where do they hang out? What groups are they in? What networking events? You know, a networking event and going into someone's Facebook group is basically the same thing. One's digital and one's like physically flesh and blood. And the digital stuff is really just to raise awareness so that you can jump on a phone call or actually physically meet the person for coffee and then you can qualify people in or out. But if it's a very, very niche, and I have no idea about patent management or patent consultancy, obviously, because that's not my thing. But where do patent managers hang out? I'm guessing this is for businesses who want to create a patent for something that they've done. So who are they? Are they startup businesses under 30 years of age? Are they 40 to 50 year olds who've actually had some businesses? So where do they hang out? Are they in the Institute of Directors, for example? And are there some, and Jatin, if you're still watching, answer me, you know, because that would be really useful. Like first of all, where do these guys hang out? But also where do these people, who are they? What do they look like? How old are they? How many kids have they got? Are they ex-managers? Are they fresh out of university? Like, understanding where these people are in their life. And you might go, well, do you know what, Dan? They are aged between 18 and 55 and they're everywhere. In which case, you going live on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and having a cohesive digital content strategy, that's actually going to help. Because what you actually do need in that case is a catch-all. And then this catch-all should then be designed to ask a question which might be giving away a lead magnet. Have you got a great idea that you'd like to patent? Download our free guide on top five things that you need to avoid to not ruin the patent, or top five things you need to do or consider before you get your patent. Avoid these three pitfalls in patent management. For example, so what you've got then is this catch-all, this massive funnel, which goes out to everybody, heart doctors, teachers, nurses, directors, self-employed, and then through putting out the content, you want to be narrowing it down into a funnel, giving away a freebie of some kind. I'll come to you and see that you've answered. I'll come to you in a second. But giving away a freebie of some kind that will then generate some kind of engagement, get them into a mailing list, and then your ideal target right there, you know, is to generate the lead, which is, for me, a lead is getting someone on a phone call. Like getting a name and a phone number, that's half a lead, right? Getting someone actually on a call or for coffee or for a pint and a curry, right? That for me is a lead. Getting that personalization, if you like. So let's have a look. They are researchers, professors, and they could be manufacturers. Manufacturers, by the way, is a difficult word to spell. So think about that. If they are, like, right there, you've got researchers, professors, and manufacturers. So right there, you've got, we call these avatars. So these researchers, are they government researchers? What are they researching? Like, how old are they? Where do they hang out? The professors. So are they university professors? Is there some alumni at various universities, or is there some networking events for university professors, if that's who they are, that you could attend and join and actually be the speaker? Like, networking events is great, but one of the problems with networking events is if there's 30 people at a networking event, you've got to go out and speak to every single networker to see if that's a match for you. That's what I used to do, but I would much rather get on stage and speak to all 30 people in one go. And so that's another way of doing it. That's basically the same as me going live right now in this very big catch-all where we're going out to all sorts of people from all sorts of different backgrounds. And those people who want help, they'll stick their hand up, or maybe they'll ask a question, or maybe they'll fill in a form, or they'll go to a website, or they'll message me on Facebook, or whatever that happens to be. We've got the catch-all. Now we're narrowing down the funnel. And that's exactly what you need to do. Manufacturers. Where do manufacturers go? Like, is there, what's the word? Exhibitions. Expos. Is that what? Expos. Exhibitions. There's places where you can go where this manufacturer's under a big roof and it costs you 20 quid to get in London. You know, the Excel Centre, the conference hall, where they hang out. So let's have a look. Jatin saying, so I understand now I should work on inbound marketing so they can come up to my website and show interest. Yes. Now, interestingly, from a sales point of view, and I learned this from a young age because I've had a lot of sales training, the person who makes the phone call loses, right? The person who receives the phone call wins. This is one of the reasons why we love inbound marketing. I generally don't chase anybody. Like, someone's expressed an interest, I'll chase them at that point. But I'm not hitting the phones and going, hey, Jatin, do you want to jump on a call? That's not what we do. We put out a lot of content and demonstrate our expertise, which is what you should be doing, right? So then people see that you've got the expertise and you know what you're talking about, then they will say, hey, Dan, can we have a call? Can we jump on a quick chat? I've got some questions I'd like to know. So that's why inbound marketing works, because the person who has to make the phone call loses, right? They've not got the power. The person who's receiving the phone call always has the power. If you're receiving an email coming in saying, Jatin, and I apologize if I'm pronouncing your name incorrectly, by the way, but if you get a phone call or an email saying, can we jump on a call for 5 minutes? Like, that is a really hot lead, because they've qualified themselves as well. It's not just someone filling in a random form. It might be. But generally, they've actually qualified themselves a little bit more. So rather than outbound marketing, which used to be the machine gun style of sending out, yeah, do you want this? It's really interesting. No. Do you want this? It's really, like, like, we don't live in the 90s anymore. Inbound marketing, where you're demonstrating expertise, demonstrating value, showing people you've got experience, explaining to people that you've actually got the secrets of things to avoid and the experience. You know, I use the word secrets. I don't like that word, but you've got the experience of things to avoid. You have to use the word secret because it's clickbaity. Sadly, it's the times that we live in. Just to rise above the noise a little bit, the five secrets to inbound marketing or patent, whatever it is, patent management. So, is that useful? Happy to jump on a call at some point if it is. If you come back to me with another question, more than happy to answer that as well. Okay, last one then. And Jatin, if you've got anything else, come back to me. How often should I email my list? So it depends, is the honest answer. Like in my email marketing, we actually email our list about every 10 to 11 days. And the reason why it's 10 to 11 days is it's not too far apart so people can't remember who you are. And it's not so close. I mean, I'm on people's mailing list where people are mailing me every day. Well, I'm just going to unsubscribe, aren't I? And I know that, you know, that's what other people do as well. Let's just have a look. So Jatin said, oh, excellent. I'm glad I said your name correct. And it really helped. Awesome. Good. If you've got any questions, please, you know, drop me a message. So just going back to mailing list, about once every 11 days works really well. Now, some people do it every 7 days. And the reason why I don't think that's a good idea is that if someone joins at Sunday morning, 2 a.m., right? And you on your autoresponder, it goes out every 7 days. You're going to send them an email every 7 days at 2 a.m. I don't think that's a really good idea because open rates, they're going to get to work on Monday morning with the weekend's worth of emails, and we're just going to delete, 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 delete. And yours really, it might get open for a few seconds, but then it will get deleted. So actually, if you did it every 8 days, but you also had something where you can wait until 11 a.m., then that would work really well. Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.